Good evening. I'd like to call the regular meeting of council to order on July 28th, 2016. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks for joining us. Vicki, will you call the roll, please?
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Albiro.
Here.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilwoman Jennifer Summers Greer.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Thank you. The first order of business is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting minutes of July 14, 2016.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move that council adopts the revised regular council meeting minutes of July 14,
2016. Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro, a second from Vice President Pleshnik, to adopt the revised.
That was a little error. Vicki left me out in the last meeting.
Oh, okay. Regular council meeting minutes of July 14th. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Abstain.
Greer.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
The minutes of the regular council meeting of July 14 have been adopted. I will not have the clerk read correspondence, notification, or minutes, as these items will appear in the regular journal. Our next order of business is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I received an email from the Cuyahoga County Airport thanking the city of Willoughby Hills for their patience during the RNC with regard to the air traffic. Thanks to our residents for this temporary inconvenience because there was a lot more traffic. Congratulations to Clover Development on the successful ribbon cutting last Friday. It was attended by more than 75 people, and it was very nice. Congratulations to Sergeant Jackson and Sergeant Nagley of the Willoughby Hills Police Department on their graduation from Northwestern Center for Public Safety. We want to wish Sharon best wishes and a speedy recovery as she is out on leave. Right now, there's somebody filling in for her, and we hope that she'll come back soon. Sympathy to the family of John Pond, who passed away last week. John was a longtime resident and proud veteran and member of 4350, White Road Veterans Society. Congratulations to Willoughby Hills Fast Pitch Girls 14U team and coach Joe Jarmuskiewicz. They were in the 2016 division runner-up in our Willoughby Hills Softball League. This August 6th, this next Saturday, is the Willoughby Hills garage sale. Check our website for the details. This is a part of the Recreation Department, and it's a very nice event, but it's held throughout the city at each individual house, but everybody has the same day, which is Saturday, but they can also have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 9/11 is Unity Day, featuring the 9/11 Memorial Service, which is being planned by the Rec Commission for Sunday, September 11th, from 11 to 6 at the VFW 4358 on White Road. There's plenty of family activities and we will show our appreciation to the first responders. Saturday, September 17th, is our annual trust truck. This is another family event, and everybody's welcome. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mayor. Are there any questions for the mayor this evening?
Madam President, just a comment. Mr. Pond was a good citizen here in the city, and he will be missed. He was also a member of the one of the founding fathers of the Boys League, and was real active in baseball and getting that started, and also was part of the volunteer fire department here way back when. So thanks for mentioning him. He will be missed.
Thank you, Councilman Phoebe. Anyone else? Thank you, Mayor. The next business is our law director's report. Mr. Lobe.
Two matters on the law director's report. The first one is questions from the personal relations committee. Members asked me concerning pay raises that the mayor gave while they were considering their particular actions. It's my understanding that the mayor gave all of his pay raises by and through his administrative powers within the pay raises. So the quick answer is, did the mayor do anything wrong or illegal or improper? The quick answer is no. The review of that starts with our charter in section 2.2 for the mayor under duties and responsibilities, and technically 2.27, salary recommendation. Though the council has the power to fix salaries, as defined in 3.32, the mayor shall have the duty and responsibility to recommend to council the amount of pay for various positions, and also shall have the responsibility to review existing pay scales. Council also has a comparable and section under 3.3, under council, powers, duties, and responsibilities. 3.32 reads, fixing of salaries, council by ordinance shall fix the salary or compensation of every officer and employee of the municipality. In this particular case, the mayor did in fact give raises administratively, but it was all done within the pay ranges as previously set by council. Section 2.27 of the charter, as I just indicated, requires the mayor to review the pay scales of the city employees. Based upon that review, Section 2.27 also requires the mayor to recommend to City Council the rate of pay for the city employees based upon that review. Section 3.32, the corresponding one for Council, requires that Council fix the salary or rate of pay for every employee. When the City Council adopted the pay plan for the city, it fulfilled its charter responsibility to fix the salary rate pay for the positions listed in the pay plan. For those positions where Council approved a fixed, non-rate area, those employees may only be paid at those rates. The plan did not give the mayor the authority to either increase or decrease that rate of pay for that position without obtaining council's approval. For those positions where council set a range, though, for example, a range would be $35,000 to $45,000 for a position, and I'm just using numbers for the sake of this discussion. Council has given the mayor the authority to set the employee's rate within that range based upon its review of the position. This has been the city's historical practice as well. So the past practice is that the council gives the mayor a range versus a fixed number. Of course, he can pay within the range, and that is all that the mayor did in this particular case. An example of that, a recent one, even under this council's position, I think except for Ms. Micah, was the community service officer position was created by City Council in 2015-21, which stated, the initial appointment to any position shall be made at the minimum of the assigned position. The mayor, at his discretion, may approve a starting salary of up to an additional 10% of the minimum compensation schedule for the classification when the needs of the department make such action necessary. Any compensation over and above what council authorized in any given year will require separate council approval. So that's a classic example where the mayor has the authority if council gives them a range, and the mayor did in this particular case with those particular individuals only go within the range. This statement is not specific only to this newly created CSO position, but we've had that same philosophy, same procedures in place for the hiring even of all new city employees, because there's another policy that it allows it to go within 10%. In fact, we just hired even the police chief. The new police chief was hired at 8% above that low range, and the bottom range was 65,728. So council allowed the mayor to set that particular range.
Mr. Lobe?
Just a correction so that Chief Collins isn't worried. You mean the new fire chief,
new
right?
Fire chief. Did I say apologize? Fire chief. We're not getting rid of Chris yet. And nor do I plan to, and I pray that this council and mayor never do. But based upon these facts, council established pay ranges rather than specific salaries. Ordinance 2015-21 and the other numerous ordinances authorizing the same set a clear pattern as the authority of the mayor to make payments within ranges if that's what council gives them. You also have to remember that these matters has been practiced for the last 20 years. We've probably had at least 10 auditors come in here because they come in on a two-year basis, and this is exactly what the auditors would look for, an improper payment. So it's not only a past practice, it's within reasonable interpretation, and if there was a problem, I'm sure that one auditor in the last 20 years, as long as I've been here, would have caught it, and I have been through three administrations that have all done the same thing, starting through the Orion, the Lorenz, and now the Wager administrations. So, putting that aside and finishing that one, my second issue for tonight.
Mr. Lobby, would you entertain a question or comment on that before you move ahead?
Whatever you want. Whatever, with the permission of Council President.
If that's all right with the. Sure. Just to clarify, in the past three administrations that you've served under, has there ever been a situation where we've had a raise that was granted without council's knowledge or at least blessing or an ordinance that would say, yes, give everybody a 1%, 2%, 3%?
Yes. The answer is yes. Absolutely.
There has been. Yeah. That was an overall blanket. Maybe we could.
Not an overall blanket, but within ranges, if somebody came or went, or if there was a new hire or something, you're allowed to even start them off at a range.
So specifically, though, that was, I think, the issue here, is that it was a blanket for a lot of people, not just one. You pointed out the CSO position, great example, perfect example of an isolated incident and one-person incident. I think what the crux of that matter was, and where perhaps there was a little bit of a movement from where past precedent had been, was that it was a blanket raise of 3% to multiple employees across the board without council's knowledge or blessing, approval, ordinance, and things like that. So
I'm quite sure it was done. If it was within the range, I cannot cite anything specific. I only use the CSO position as the most recent one that was brought forward. I only bring forward the most recent one, that being the fire chief, but it has been, as I understand it, that raises have been given if they are within the ranges. That is my understanding. That has been done. I cannot cite a specific one right now. But as long as it is, and even if it wasn't done, as long as it is within the range, it would be legally permissible.
I understand the legally permissible argument, that perhaps it's legally permissible. I'm just saying that as a past precedent, I don't believe that it has ever been done where a full range of people were given a blanket raise without council's approval, knowledge, authority, and so forth. So we could perhaps look back on that just to verify that. But in my experience and the time that I've been here, I've never seen that. So I believe that was the crux of the issue.
I can only give a legal opinion. I can't give what may be good for this council or that administration. But legally, the question from my perspective, is there an impropriety? Is it illegal? Is it in violation of some state rules or ordinances or even some auditing provision? The answer is no. Okay? That's as far as I can go. Okay?
Thank you.
My answer is a legal answer, and I'll leave it at that.
Mr. Lobey, if my recollection is correct, I don't think we had ranges in the Orion or Lorenz administration, only in the Wager administration.
We had it sometime. I thought it was in the Lorenz, and I didn't go back on that.
Okay.
I thought it was in the Lorenz, and you may be correct. If there were any in the Orion, I can always say that I've been a law director. I did not do a historical analysis to that particular extent, but I know that we had them. I thought that we modified them in the Lorenz, and I could be wrong about that. And Vicki, I'm sure, could always go back and look at that thing. But as far as I can recall, it went back not only from this administration, it went back at least one administration and maybe even two, and that's as far as I can go back. Okay?
Thank you.
Next matter is 2016-36. You're going to hear a report from Councilwoman Mica tonight, and a lot of what she say may not be 100% accurate. And the reason that it may not be accurate is because I gave her some facts that were preliminary facts that were not 100% yet facts, and we talked in a generalized fashion before council. So if there is something in her report that does not come out at the end of all the facts that is not correct, please do not blame Councilwoman Micah, because I had a conversation with her and Councilman Plechnik. The fault, if any, should rest with me, okay? And I just want you to know that. So she's going to report tonight, but please do not say, oh, Councilwoman Micah, you reported this and it's not right. So, and what I'm talking about is we did have the 2016-36 is the one of the contracts on the cell tower across the street. And this matter is very, very difficult. And even though, like I said, I've been here 20 years and getting very long in the tooth, this issue goes back 30 years, okay? It goes back to 1986, and it's further complicated with all of the cell phone mergers, consolidations, discharges, when there was 10 of them, down to 4 of them, down to 3, and the name changes and things of that nature. So we are trying to unravel that. So some of my preliminary information is provided to her. May be correct, it may be partially wrong, and we will correct that as we go. But she's going to report what she reported because she's duty-bound to report. What we're doing is we're trying to get the analysis from the administrative side, and your finance director is looking into that on all of the payments, and he and the mayor, the finance director and the mayor, are going internally to review their documents. And after our informal meeting, I did call the representatives in Boston, Massachusetts, and I was supposed to get for tonight, so I can hand it to Ms. Micah, a detailed history from the outside, not our internal view, but from the outside version of all the history of who started the tower, who merged to what name changed, what was the affiliate, and all of those matters, and I did not receive it today, so I don't have it. So I just want to report that you're on second reading. Please keep it there and take no opinion, a position, or otherwise, or please don't move to adopt, especially at this preliminary stage.
There's no intention to do that.
Thank you.
Any questions for the law director? Seeing none, finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek.
No report tonight.
Any questions for the finance director this evening? Seeing none, city engineer's report. Pete?
Thank you. No formal report tonight.
Any questions from the council table for the engineer this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Councilwoman Micah, would you like to start this evening?
Sure. Okay, so this past Monday night, the 25th, we had a joint meeting of utilities and finance. So these, the following is a compilation of notes between Chair John Plechnik for finance and myself for utilities. The time was 6:30 that we started our meeting. Present was John Plechnik, Vice President and Chair of Finance, Nancy Fellows, President of Council, Chris Biro, Councilman, and Jennifer Summers Greer, Councilwoman. Also present were Frank Berkachek, Finance Director, and Robert Weger, the Mayor. Our order of business, as Mr. Lobey said, was Ordinance 2016-36, authorizing the mayor to enter into a lease agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills and Verizon Wireless. It's under consideration to see if it is properly written and, more importantly, to consider the financial terms offered to the city. I explained that the cell phone contracts signed 15 to 20 years ago are much different than the current ordinance under consideration in terms of financial benefit to the city. Two things are important in a cell tower agreement: the base rent paid by the company to the city and something called co-location benefits. Co-location refers to a third party who may additionally use the tower. This additional revenue would be shared with our city at a rate of 43.75%. The other two cell tower agreements, which we have recently put through and have been signed by the city, they pay about $1,500 monthly. Over a 25-year contract period, this would bring $450,000 to the city. The current ordinance, which is under scrutiny, offers to pay $732 monthly for a 25-year contract, plus a $60,000 signing bonus. Over a 25-year period, this would bring in $279,000, not taking into account a stated 3% annual increase, which we felt wasn't sufficiently detailed to bring numbers in. The new contract thus shows a $170,000 shortfall compared to the other older contract. It was recently discovered by Law Director Tom Lobey that the American Tower Company is the same company that administers both the newly signed contract contracts and this new one that is under consideration as Ordinance 2016-36. In addition to the lesser rent payment offered to the city, there are a number of problems with the ordinance. The co-location revenue share, as stated, 43.75%, but it is not clear what this means in terms of money, since co-location is not a significant source of revenue as it was 20 years ago. According to Mr. Loby, 43.75% of zero is zero, referring to the drop in co-location revenue in recent years. There is a confidentiality clause in the contract. According to Mr. Loby, this invalidates the entire contract as illegal, since this is a public contract requiring public disclosure. I concluded that Ordinance 2016-36 should continue to be considered until the terms of the contract are fully negotiated between our law director and the cell tower company's representatives. In our discussion, Vice President Plechnik expressed his concern that the two previous cell tower contracts with the same company appear to have better terms, and he wants to see the full cash value of the new contracts versus the old contracts with all terms taken into account. Finance Director Brickachek said $72,000 per year. The terms could change because of co-location. Co-location used to bring in a significant amount of money. Now things are different because the cell phone companies are almost a monopoly, a few large companies. Finance Director Brickachek said, from my point of view, we can negotiate and change things that we don't like. The city can add clauses, including fair market value. When cell phone towers started, companies built their own towers because the technology was new and they were the only ones who knew how to do it. Now it's more advantageous to have different companies build the tower. That's what American Tower does. President Fellows asked if the new contract is comparable to what we have now. How do the old towers themselves compare with what is available today with updated technology? And would there be someone else to buy the tower if we walked away from this deal? Mayor Weger replied that, yes, there are people who would buy it. Verizon pays $805 now. American Tower has revenue of $23,000. Two companies on that tower. We have to see what's in American Tower's contract and Verizon's. Verizon pays $830 a month. They pay $2,000 a month. Nancy Fellows stated, I don't know why this was even given to us anyway. We should probably table it. There was a brief side discussion by Frank Cejula, Nancy Fellows, and the mayor regarding the expiration date for tabled ordinances. The mayor stated we need to get parcel numbers for each tower and determine what is on each tower. We also have to figure out how much property tax is on it. Mr. Cejula said the identifying parcel number for City Hall is a zero. The final consensus from the committee was to leave the ordinance on second reading at the 7/28/16 council meeting, which is tonight. In public portion, it opened at 6:55 p.m. Frank Cejula, chairman of the Board of Zoning Appeals, asked when the current contract expires and was told by Mayor Weger and President Fellows next year at the end of June. Mr. Cejula asked if there were co-locators on it, and the mayor replied yes. Mr. Cejula asked if we had an agreement with AT&T, wasn't it originally Verizon? Mayor Weger replied, we have to find out. Mr. Cejula replied that it sounds like the same company that originally built the towers now leases them back to American Tower. Finance Director Brickachek said, yes, that's correct. Mayor Weger suggested not to do a second reading of the ordinance at the 7/28 council meeting. Public portion closed at 7:06 p.m., and there were no questions, so the meeting was adjourned at 7:08 p.m. I stand open to any questions or corrections.
John, is there anything that you,
right,
or did you
I had the opportunity to review Councilwoman Micah's minutes, so they reflect my thoughts as well. I would just add, from the financial perspective, our goal is to ensure that we get the market rate, the best deal the city can possibly get. And so at this point, we're obviously not going to move forward, as our law director said, with approving any contract, because we need to negotiate it fully. We need to compare it to the contracts we've had in the past and have most recently signed. So we have a long way to go, but fortuitously, as the minutes reflect, we don't have to renew this agreement until June of next year, so we have the time to thoroughly research it and look at it in finance and utilities while the administration negotiates the contract.
And as Mr. Loby stated before, we have quite a bit of work to do on in discovery, just to match up these cell towers to their exact locations, understand what the contracts originally said, what they say now. There have been a lot of changes of companies, just the name changes over the years, and it does get very confusing. We're all a little bit confused about this at this point. But the good news is that we do have time. We're just trying to get a little head start on this information. Thank you.
Councilman Phoebe, do you have a question?
No.
No? Thank you, Jan, very much. All right, other committee reports. Planning and Zoning has a meeting, Councilman Helms, scheduled for August 1st at 6:30 p.m., correct?
Yes.
Speaking of cell towers, new cell towers, might you know when Planning and Zoning is going to have that on their agenda and when they're going to schedule a public hearing?
The cell tower company have not applied for to be on our agenda.
Okay. And Councilman Phoebe, you have a safety committee scheduled for August 1st as well at 6 p.m., correct?
Correct.
Okay. All righty. Then I will move on to rules and legislation. Rules and legislation met July 25th. We began our meeting at 6:16 p.m. All members of the committee were present, myself, Vice President John Pleshnik, and Councilwoman Jan Micah. Also present were Councilwoman Greer and Councilman Biro and the mayor. The order of business was the legislation for this upcoming meeting. The first one is Ordinance 2016-36, an ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into the First Amendment lease agreement renewal tenant Verizon with the city. This is the one that Councilwoman Micah was just referring to. This is one of our original cell towers. The current contract expires in the end of June 2017. It was recommended by the Rules and Legislation Committee that this be on second reading this evening. Next one is Ordinance 2016-38, an ordinance authorizing directing the mayor of the city to enter an agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation, ODOT District 12, for the Bishop and White Road temporary sign project. The entire cost and expense of this temporary signal will be provided by ODOT. This topic will be reviewed in the Safety Committee meeting this coming, or on Monday, August 4th at 6 p.m., and was called by Councilman and Chair David Fiebig. Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends this ordinance be on second reading. The next one is Ordinance 2016-40 and actually 41. They are combined at the hip. It's an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a State of Ohio Administrative Services contract for the purchase of a 2016 GMC 3500 Sierra one-ton cab and chassis for use by the service department, the vendor being Ross Service Group in Centerville, Ohio, which is about 250 miles south of us. The 2016 operating budget provides $65,000 for the purchase and outfitting of the one-ton cab and chassis by utilizing funds from Fund 250, which is the Street Construction and Maintenance and Repair Fund, if there's any shortfall, which most likely would come from savings in the SALT. Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends that the three-reading rule be waived and the ordinance be adopted this evening. And the other one that matches this one is Ordinance 2016-41, an ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to accept the quote submitted by Henderson Products, Ohio. This is where we had our other truck outfitted from, about 120 miles west of here in Bucyrus, for the acquisition of a one-ton Henderson snow and ice control package for the cab and chassis. The 2016 budget, of course, provides $65,000 for the purchase, combined purchase and outfitting of this using Fund 250 and any shortfall from the savings in SALT. The Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends that the three reading rule be waived and the ordinance be adopted. No one came forward during public portion, and so the meeting adjourned at 6:27 p.m. I'm open to any questions or corrections. Okay, seeing none. Councilman Biro, any comments on service tonight?
No.
Councilwoman Gurr, anything on rec?
Not tonight.
One thing we have to keep in mind is something that we discussed. We have to keep it in our mind that the five-ton, we're looking to purchase another five-ton truck, plow truck, and we just want to keep that in fresh in everyone's memory. We have to start looking at funding now so we can, you know, initiate this towards the end of the year and so we can get it ordered, and because these things take so long to acquire. Right. So just to keep that in everybody's mind, we'll probably have another meeting in a couple months just to reaffirm that idea.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. At the end here, there's no other council representative reports tonight. Any questions on committees? All right, we will move on to public portion. A public portion is opportunity for the public to come forward to voice their concerns or make comments or ask questions. Sometimes we can answer the questions, sometimes we can't. We do ask you to try to keep your comments to 3 minutes. And I will open public portion at 7:32 p.m. Mr. Fellows.
Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. I was intrigued by the law director's report on the first point that he made about the raises. And I was intrigued by what you read, because it was pretty clear, that the charter is pretty clear, that the administration recommends and that the council grants raises, that the range thing that you gave was a new, relatively new way to do business, but only for, all the examples you gave were regarding new hires and initial payments, but not raises. Raises and ranges are apples and oranges, two different things. The budget, as I understood, was granting a 2% raise when approved by council, but some were more than 2% were given. Historically, I've been around a few years too, I don't recall that ever happening before, that council authority was usurped by administration, irrespective of the legal opinions. And you can have, we all know, that you get five attorneys, you get six opinions as to what's legal and what's not legal. But from a historical standpoint, I would challenge, not challenge, but I would suggest to find out when that ever happened. I would be shocked if you could find when that's ever happened in the history of Willoughby Hills, that raises were granted without council's approval. And especially when you brought up the auditor's report, the auditors would have found it if it had happened, and I don't believe it's ever happened. So just my comments. Thanks.
Thank you. Linda?
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham Boulevard. My first question is in regards to the, I believe that the woman who is helping out, taking the place of Sharon, is Denise Reichelt. And I would like to know how she's being paid. And I don't know if you can say how much, but I was wondering whether or not it would have behooved the city to go through a temporary agency. Would it cost more money by going through a temp agency, or what? And I just find it interesting that it's a friend. So the other question I have is in regards to Denise Edwards' son. I'd like to know if he is still a monitor over there at the community center, and if he is of 17 years old or younger, because if he is, then according to the seminar I went to last year, that is definitely nepotism, because they feel the parents are still in charge, and they're in charge, and they pretty much are in charge of the money. They could be. So I'd like to know if that's the case, if she, you know, if he's still working there, seeing that Denise Edwards is also working there. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else for public portion? I will close public portion at 7:36 p.m. The next order of business is unfinished business. I'm going to pass the gavel to the Vice President. I have a couple points that I want to share concerning Ordinance 2016-38, which is in reference to the signal at the intersection of White and Bishop Road. As elected officials, we take an oath and have a responsibility to provide for the safety of our residents. My comments are concerning this signal at the intersection. And actually, concerns and discussion go back as far as 2011, when the thoughts of creating a roundabout that was identified in the capital improvement plan to keep traffic moving were brought forth. Recently, a statement was provided to ODOT indicating, and I quote, after much discussion and consideration with the mayor and city council, they have decided not to proceed with the permanent signal alternative at this time, unquote. However, there was no motion nor legislative action taken by council for this statement to be made. My second point, this week council was provided a memo from the mayor documenting his reasons to deny the expenditure for a permanent signal at the intersection of White and Bishop Roads. While we may eventually come to the same conclusion, what is important here is that council did not concur with the decision before the safety committee of council had an opportunity to vet out this topic, which we have been assured there was ample time to do, review all pertinent data, and the safety committee will bring forth a recommendation to council, and then for council to present a motion that will indicate a decision. Administration has circumvented the legislative process, which should not be taken lightly by those that have elected us to represent them. And these are just my thoughts. Thank you. Moving on to legislation, just a tip for tonight, not necessarily Robert's rules, but at our rules meeting on Monday, there was some discussion going back and forth with individuals about what to do with an ordinance, and this one was in reference to the cell tower because the ordinance that created most likely is not going to be the ordinance that we would address once all the negotiations have been made. So these are the things that we can do in terms of that legislation. To be more definitive, council can vote it down, and council does not want to enter into the lease agreement that's presented on that ordinance. Table it, leaving an opportunity for council to amend the ordinance at a later date, or if no action is taken, it will automatically be rejected on the anniversary date of its introduction. So when a motion is tabled, then there's a life of 12 months on it, no matter what month of the year that it's done. So it's not a calendar year from January to December. So in our codified ordinance at 125.03, automatic rejection of legislation, each resolution or ordinance which has not been enacted by council shall be deemed automatically rejected on the anniversary date of its introduction before council unless extended by motion of council. So just some information on that. All right. Moving on to legislation, our first ordinance is ordinance number 2016-36. Vicki, will you read the caption, please?
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a First Amendment to First Amendment to Lease Agreement by and between the City of Willoughby Hills and New Par, DBA, Verizon Wireless.
This will be on second reading for tonight. Next one. Ordinance 2016-38.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor of the City of Willoughby Hills to enter into an agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation, District 12, for the Bishop and White Road Project and declaring an emergency.
This will also stay on second reading and has been assigned to the Safety Committee. The next one is Ordinance 2016-40.
An ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into State of Ohio Administrative Services contract for the purchase of a one-ton cab and chassis for use by the Service Department and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move the council waives the three reading rule on Ordinance Number 2016-40.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro, second from Councilwoman Greer.
Yes.
To waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2016-40. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Plushnick.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Beebe.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
The three reading rule has been waived on Ordinance Number 2016-40.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move that council adopts Ordinance Number 2016-40.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro, second from Vice President Plushnick, to adopt Ordinance Number 2016-40. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Plushnick.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Ordinance 2016-40 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2016-41.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to accept the quote submitted by Henderson Products Ohio for the acquisition of a one-ton Henderson snow and ice control package for a 2016 GMC 3500 Sierra one-ton cab and chassis and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move the council waives the three reading rule on Ordinance Number 2016-41.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2016-41. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Ebig.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
The three reading rule on Ordinance 2016-41 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Biro.
Move that council adopts Ordinance Number 2016-41.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Biro, second from Councilwoman Greer, to adopt Ordinance Number 2016-41. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Greer.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Ordinance Number 2016-41 has been adopted, and Mark, you should be very happy. All right. I neglected to see if anybody wanted to comment to any of the people that came forward during public portion this evening. Okay. Any new business for tonight? For the good of the order.
Madam President, as I've been a big proponent of blood donations, it's summer, and there's always a blood emergency. So please, when you see one of those Red Cross, buses or whatever, please stop and donate because it is a worthy cause. Being in the business, we use a lot of blood, and it saves a lot of lives. So please take the time, get your kids involved if they're old enough, friends. Just we really need to promote that in our community and other communities. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Just to follow up, there's a blood drive at the Willoughby City Hall on August 3rd from 1 to 6, and here at the Willoughby Hills Community Center on August 10th from 1 to 6.
Thank you.
I'll be looking for everyone.
Dracula will be there. Anything else? Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
Wait.
For the good of the community.
Well, that was sort of the good of the community, but yes, go on, John.
Well, if I could just add one item, because we will likely be in recess through all of August. St. Mary's Church in Collinwood is having their annual church picnic at Slavinska Prastava on August 21st. It's probably the biggest picnic of the year at Prastava. A lot of our friends from Willoughby Hills go. It's just a wonderful experience. So just wanted to commend everyone to the St. Mary's Church picnic on August 21st.
Thank you. I was just thinking that the fest is in Willowick coming up as well. And I know St. Noel's really involved in that. So I forget the date.
August 7th.
August 7th. Thank you. Wycliffe. Thank you. It's one of those W cities. All right. Thanks. All right. Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
So moved. Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a motion from Vice President Pleshek to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on that. However, we will adjourn to the next regular scheduled meeting of Council, which would be scheduled September 8th. Vicki?
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Biro?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
The meeting's been adjourned at 7:46, and everyone have a great break in August. Thank you.